As we've mentioned in previous services now, we are looking at these commandments. And again, they are not suggestions. They are not suggestions. You know, if you want to follow these, then you can if you want. No, these are commandments. And while there is a portion of them or a way of looking at them a bit different maybe in now in the church age, they still are very applicable to us. I know as a father, I expect my children to listen and obey what I am telling them. Not because of necessarily they want to do it, but because of the position of authority that God has given me in their life. And, you know, God is in the same situation. We can look at it today that we have one primary authority in our life, and that is God. God is our primary authority. And the blessing of that is this: we don't have to wander through life wondering, what does God want me to do? What does God not want me to do? Why? Because we have this book right here. What is this book right here? This is the Word of God, the Bible. So it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. God has revealed himself to us in his Word, and God has revealed himself to us in many other ways. But I'm so thankful that we have a Bible. We have the Word of God to know how to live our life. So let's just jump right into this. I'll admit to you, I've noticed over these last several weeks that this beginning lesson has started to go longer than the ending preaching time. And not planned necessarily, but it's just how the Lord has used it. And we'll just let the leading of the Lord still be preeminent. Number one is an announcement to accept. An announcement to accept. Hold your place in Exodus and go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number one. Genesis chapter number one. An announcement to accept. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own what? Image. He did not create animals in his image. He created man in his image. Okay? In the image of God created he him, both male and female created he them. So men and women, boys and girls, here's something that we need to accept. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. And that is this: that we only of God's creation were created in his image. In his image. So because we are made in his image, then human life is distinct. It is distinct. It is separate. It stands apart from any other life. Now praise the Lord for Fido, and praise the Lord for the fish in your fish bowl, and praise the Lord for the little kitty cat maybe that's running around, or the raccoon, or whatever, of all these animals that God has created. And we were told, the Bible says here that we're to have dominion over them, but they were not created in the image of God. You were, I were, bad English, but we were created in the image of God. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9. Human life is distinct. Genesis chapter number 9. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, for the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you." Sorry, vegetarians, okay? I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a vegetarian. I'm just saying that it's very clear that God has said that the animal kingdom has a purpose, yes, And it's not to be put above the human race, if you will. We were created in his image. We are distinct. It was created as meat for you, even as the green herb. There you go. You need your vegetables too, all right? You need to have your greens. And so your meat and your greens, you know, and whatever else. I guess there's some other things maybe that you need, the fruit and all that. The point is this. I have given you, mankind, all things. So we were created in the image of God. We did not evolve. We did not start out as an amoeba. I have a little poem here called The Amazing Professor. I once was an amoeba in for a swim, and then I was a tadpole with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. That's not how it works, folks. No, the Bible says God created male and female in his image. And so I'm thankful for that. And by the way, you are in a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God. So get excited about that you were created in the image of God. You did not swing from a tree. And now I have swung from a tree before, just not with my tail, okay? I never had a tail, all right? And so we are not related to the animal kingdom, folks. Genesis 9, 1 through 3 makes that very clear. We just read that. Okay? We were created distinctly. The reason we need to establish this is because it really emphasizes the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Because if I'm created in the image of God and you're created in the image of God, animals are not created in the image of God, okay? This is not a message against animals. This is a message for thou shalt not kill. We are distinct and we are created with a purpose. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter number 6, please. Matthew chapter number 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All those chapters, they are one powerful sermon. If you've never read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you need to read it. It's the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest preacher ever is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is right in the middle of his sermon. And he says in Matthew 6 and verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Feedeth who? The fowls of the air, you know, the little birdies. God feeds them. God takes care of them. Notice what he says. "Are ye not much better than they?" He's speaking to individuals. He's speaking to people. And he's saying, look, God takes care of the raven, and God takes care of the blue jay, and God takes care of the crow, believe it or not. God takes care of all of his creation in one way, shape, or form. God is taking care of them. And Jesus says, are you not much better than they? Of course we are, because we were created in the very image of God Almighty. God gives man, we read it just a moment ago, Genesis chapter 9. God gives man the permission to take the life of an animal for food. It's right there. God has given government the responsibility. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. God has given government the responsibility, and this is not a message about government, pro or con, but God created government, so and the authority that God has placed in our life, we need to submit ourselves to authority as long as that government is not pointing us to be disobedient to the Word of God and pushing us to violate the commands of God's Word. We need to be in submission. God has given government the responsibility to carry out capital punishment when man has murdered someone. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? "For in the image of God made he man." So again, I want to challenge you today, whether you're online or whether you're here in person, We don't want our belief system to be set, and then we go to the Bible to make sure that the Bible agrees with our belief system. You understand what I just said? That's what a lot of people do. They say, this is what I believe. Now, I want to see if it's in the Bible and make sure it's okay with the Bible. Or some people say, maybe they don't say this verbally, but they say it parenthetically. I don't really care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. The Bible very clearly says that if someone takes someone's life in the sense of murder here, that it's an eye for an eye, according to the Bible. So where do we get our belief system? Where do we get our way of thinking? We can't find it in the government. We can't find it in the newspaper. We can't find it in our feelings. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, you're going to have to take it up with God. God wrote His word, not me. All right? So this is an announcement to accept. God. Hey, think of this. God allowed David to kill who? The big, tall beast. He wasn't a beast. He was a man, but... God allowed David to kill who? Why? Yeah, he was standing out there and he was cursing God and he was standing out there and doing other things and challenging God. But I believe God allowed David to kill Goliath to save life. That guy was a 9-foot hulk of a man. And he allowed David to do what he did to save life. There have been and will continue to be wars of self-defense. By the way, the wars will not cease until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes His kingdom in the New Jerusalem and so forth. I'm looking forward to that day. But, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to say don't pray for peace. We're supposed to pray for peace, okay? But war is going to continue, and whether we think that is fortunate or not, and I don't necessarily think it's fortunate. I wouldn't want anyone innocent to die, of course. The authority, though, does not rest in the individual. The authority rests in the nations. This is why we must pray for those that are in authority over us, that they would make wise decisions. Where do you find this? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Maybe you want to jot that reference down. I'll read it to you. I have it right here. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. How much do you pray for the Prime Minister of Canada? When's the last time you prayed for the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau? Think about it now. We might say, well, he's this or he's that or his policies are this or he's that, and you know, I'll be careful because we're online right now, and I may have a personal way of thinking that would not match up with him. But the question is, how much have you prayed for him? That's a command that we're supposed to pray for those that are in authority over us. Let's keep reading. For kings and for all that are in authority. Say, he's not a king. Nobody's in authority. So I should be praying for him. You know, I should be praying for those that are in government, that are in authority. So number one is an announcement to accept. Number two is an application to understand. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. An application to understand. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. We're talking this morning about keeping life sacred. Keeping life sacred. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 19. We're going to look at three things from Scripture that are prohibited. So there's going to be 1, 2, and 3 underneath this, an application to understand. Let's apply this command, thou shalt not what? Kill. Thou shalt not kill. Let's apply this command in these three ways, and then let's apply it in one more in the last point here. But an application to understand. Romans 12, 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. An application to understand. Number one, murder is prohibited. It's prohibited, meaning it's not allowed. Why? It is born out of wrath. It is born out of anger, normally. It is born, it can happen because someone has been, is under the influence as well of alcohol or of drugs. And not always, okay? But these things feed anger. And so murder is prohibited. Think about this. If you remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember that scene in John chapter 18? And the disciples, Peter, James, and John, I think it was, they're there, and Jesus is praying intensely, and they fall asleep a couple of different times, and he just says eventually, okay, guys, boy, you must be really tired, just continue to sleep on. And eventually, what happens is the soldiers come, and they are beginning to arrest Jesus, and remember what Peter does? He's got bad aim. It's a good thing for Malchus that he has bad aim. Because he takes out his sword. And he swings and misses, but he got an ear. Oh, man. You know, sometimes these little members cause a lot of pain, right? We'll just leave it at that. But he took out an ear. And Jesus said, no. Put your sword away. And Jesus picked up, you just got to think about this, right? He picked up the ear and put it back on, and there you go, brand new. I wonder if he could hear better than ever before out of that ear. Because it had been touched by Jesus. It's not part of the message. But even he rebuked Peter and said, don't do that. Now, there was maybe various reasons why he would have rebuked him and said, put your sword away. Obviously, he wanted to get to the cross. He needed to get to the cross. We wanted him to get to the cross because without that, we would not be able to have forgiveness today. But murder is prohibited. Let's go back in your Bible now to Psalm 139. Again, this is just, we could talk longer about these things, but this is meant to be just an overview of each commandment. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So, murder is prohibited. Number next, underneath, this is underneath big two. Abortion is prohibited. We are talking about keeping life sacred. Look what it says in Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's what? Womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse number 4, the Bible says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then, of course, we read it earlier, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. I'm not going to reread that verse. It's very clear from God's word that not only is murder prohibited in the sense of someone murdering someone who is out of the womb, but in the very same sense, murder is prohibited for a baby that is in the womb. From 2007 to 2018, there were 1,168,675 abortions based on statistics online that I found that were performed in Canada. 1,168,675. That's almost 90,000 every year. By the way, this is not, some will say, well, it's a woman's right over her body. Wrong. Baby in there has a completely different DNA. It has, I shouldn't say it, she or he have their own rights. It's not about a woman's right over her body, no. Again, where do you get your belief system from? The radio, politics, or, you know, if you're going to go there and find it, unfortunately, most of it is going to be contrary to Scripture. No, we want our belief system to be based on the Word of God. So murder is prohibited, abortion is prohibited, and we could, again, expound that, but we'll move on. And number three, euthanasia is prohibited. Euthanasia is prohibited. This is man deciding that someone's life is not worth living. I remember when I was a child growing up in the state of Michigan, there was a man there who made probably worldwide fame. His name was Dr. Death. I don't know if you remember hearing that term, Dr. Death. Jack Kevorkian was his name. And he became famous for assisted suicides. I mean, it was big news. I can't begin to comment on it. I don't have anything written down. I just remembered that. That even someone saying, okay, I want to die, I want to take my own life and I want to do it this way. Yes, even man deciding to take man's life is not Bible. It's prohibited. Who gives life? I don't give life. Therefore, I should not take life. It is God that gives life. It is God that takes life. Ending a life, by the way, I want to preface this by saying ending a life and ending treatment are two different subjects. I have been there multiple times as a pastor when someone was being kept alive simply by a machine. And it was the wishes of that individual not to have their life taken by a drug, but to have their life not kept alive simply by a machine. That's different. That's not what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've been there. I've been in the hospital rooms. I've been in the nursing home rooms. I've been in the hospice care. And praise the Lord, every time it's been with someone who knew the Lord. They knew the Lord. They knew that when that machine shut down, that within hours possibly, they were going to take their last breath, but they were going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, life is sacred. Why is life sacred? Because we were created in the image of God. No other creation of God, apart from man and woman, were created in the very image of God. I need to give you one more thought. Let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and that is attitudes to avoid. Attitudes to avoid. Pastor Turner, I've got this commandment in the bag. Okay, let's see. Let's see what it says. By the way, when I say I've got it in the bag, I'm saying that I've got it. I've got it mastered. I've got this commandment. Well, if you know the Sermon on the Mount, you know that Jesus speaks about it in this way. Look at Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not what? Kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, okay, listen up. Pull up your chair. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the what? Judgment. What did he just say in the previous verse that someone got judgment because of what? Right? Because of killing someone. Right? It's right in the context. So he's saying someone who kills someone shall be in danger of the judgment. And he says, but I'm telling you, someone who's angry with his brother is also in line for the same judgment. And he says, shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Okay, there is more to this command than the physical act of taking someone's life. Raca, look at that word, R-A-C-A, Raca. This is an Aramaic word, okay? It's an Aramaic word. Now, most of the Bible was written in two languages. They are what? Old Testament was mainly written in what language? Do you remember? Hebrew. I saw some of your lips moving, and good, and I heard some of you. And the New Testament in what? In Greek. Right. So, but every once in a while, we find a little bit of Aramaic, too, sprinkled in there as well. And that's exactly what this word, raka, is. It's an Aramaic word of contempt or anger. I want to submit to you something today. Angry words are deadly words. Thou shalt not kill, Jesus, the Bible said in Moses, the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, you remember hearing about that? You remember when your grandpa told you, and his grandpa told him, and his grandpa told him, and his grandpa told him, his grandpa told him, and his grandpa told him, and Moses told his grandpa, don't kill? Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something else. Anger is a killer. Anger is a killer. Raka, someone who gets mad, just at the drop of a hat, gets mad quickly, that means. And really, they're boiling. I mean, their face is boiling. If you saw Brother Charles trying to eat that balut the other night, he wasn't mad. He wasn't angry. I hope you, if you didn't see that, you've got to see that. Sorry, Brother Charles. We're just going to keep talking about that. It's going to last till next year, I think. But I mean, his face went, he's pretty white, he's pretty pale. His face went from pale white to red in a matter of seconds. I mean, just boom, right there. He was all red. And but that's what we're talking about in the sense of Jesus said, remember what your family told you and about what God told them. I want to tell you something else, he says. You as well who are angry and you say raka, meaning you just get mad. You also are in danger. Bible says in James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, I tell you what, would you go there and look at that with me? Anyway, I'm going to say a few things in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at James chapter 1. I just quoted it, but some of us need to underline this. I don't know who needs this the most today, this last point. You say, yeah, I've got it, Pastor. Thou shalt not kill. I'm on board with the Bible there. But what about this? What about this application? What about the anger application? Because that's Bible. This is Jesus saying, if you are in anger, you're as guilty as taking a life. James 1:20. Maybe you ought to underline it in your Bible, and maybe some of us online, maybe some of us in here today need to ask the Lord for his help in this. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Nothing good comes from the wrath of man. What is the righteousness of God? Boy, that's goodness, isn't it? Good deeds. No, we can't do God's work in anger. We can't do God's work in wrath. Here's three myths about anger. Myths. Number one, venting my anger is healthy. It's a myth, meaning it's not true. Venting anger does not help your health, but releasing your anger through forgiveness does. There's probably someone in this room, more than someone here, and people online today, that you might say, well, I have a reason to be angry at so-and-so because of this. Let me just pause right there, please. Take a time out. Let me tell you this. Whatever they did to you is actually less of a problem to your well-being than the anger that you have in your body right now. Whatever they did is less of a damage than the anger that you're holding inside of you right now. You need to forgive, and only by the grace of God can that be done. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you can just, get over it. I'm not saying that. We need the grace of God to release and quit holding up and quit holding that anger in and bring forgiveness to someone today. Number two, aggressive behavior gets rid of anger. Myth number two, aggressive behavior gets rid of it. I submit to you that it increases it, actually. It accelerates it. Number three, anger has no effect on my health. Now, I hope no one here believes that for a moment. Holding on to anger produces a silent killer. silent killer. You know what that silent killer is? Stress. And I know I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to mainly saved people today, at least from what I know. I don't know who's listening online right now. But there is no reason for us as children of God to be known by our anger. That's not godly. A lady came up to Evangelist Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize her angry outburst. "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper," she said. "I blow up and then it's all over." Have you ever been around somebody like that? Have you ever been around someone that you don't want to, you don't want to touch them too hard? I'm not saying this in a literal sense. I'm saying it in a hypothetical sense or a kind of an illustration. You don't want to touch them too hard because you never know when they're going to explode. By the way, I hope that's not the way it is in our homes today. That's not of God. That's not helpful to anyone. That's not how you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, they need correction, and yes, they need discipline, but they don't need anger. They don't need your anger. They don't need my anger. Billy Sunday said, "So does a shotgun. But look at the damage it leaves behind." Remember what she had said, "I blow up and it's all over"? So does a shotgun. A shotgun, as far as I know, has all the... Is that the one that has all these little BBs inside of it? Is that a shotgun? Yeah. And it covers a wide... You can tell my experience of hunting and whatever else is zero, okay? I think I remember going squirrel hunting one time in my life. Sorry, you squirrel lovers. And it did taste like chicken. But anyway... Don't look at me for eating strange things, okay? Come on now. Some of you got me beat in that by a long mile, and I'll let you win, and I'll give you a certificate for it. But it covers a broad pattern, right? And little BBs all over the place. Hey, when you blow up and explode, you don't know who's getting hit by that flying shrapnel. These are myths. Holding anger in or exploding are both unwise and not becoming of a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me give you four things, and I know I've taken more time than I wanted to today, but I don't want to miss this because I want to give a help as we think about anger. Number one, how do we restore a broken relationship? Number one, humble yourself. Humble yourself. I don't know this is the case, but a lot of times I think this is directed to the men. Am I right, guys? Don't leave me up here on an island. The ladies just said amen. Oh, look out. Let's have an invitation right now, Mrs. Well, don't worry, Mrs. Raver. We can have one without a piano. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to tell you that I've never been angry before and it wasn't proper. I can't tell you that. I can tell you this, it never gets you anywhere. Well, I'll tell you where it gets you so far away from those you love. So number one, how do we fix it? Humble ourselves. Number two, this should be number one, but number one, humble ourselves. Number two, seek forgiveness. I'm saying if you're the one that has been the angry one, you need to go to someone and seek forgiveness. Hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Say it with me, men. Sorry, I'm not saying the ladies never get angry. Maybe some of you ladies in here, you just look like you're just so peaceful and calm. And let's just work on it as men, all right? Ready? I was wrong. That'll help your marriage. That'll help your child rearing. That'll help every relationship in the church. And lastly, pray together. Pray together. Pray together. Kind of hard to be angry with someone when you're praying. Man, I tell you, God, just if you could get him really good for that, you know that's not going anywhere. That's not even leaving the room. There's something about it. Humble yourself. Seek forgiveness. Pray together. See? All of this comes back to the reason is this, the sacredness of life. That son of yours, that daughter of yours, they were created not in your image, Although they might look like you, they might even talk like you, they were created in the image of God, just as I was and all of us are here today. We want to treat each other just like that. Life is sacred.